While the painter's radical approach had disenchanted the composer, it was a powerful attraction for the playwright. Schlichter was therefore delighted to paint the very left-wing Brecht's portrait, which hung prominently on the wall of his brother's restaurant. When Weill wiped his steamy glasses and put them back on, the painting was likely one of the first things to catch his eye. Not far from his portrait, Brecht was sitting at his favourite table, where he enjoyed reading the many Berlin newspapers that were draped over long wooden holders. News couldn't be current enough in a town that worshipped the present tense, and Brecht was hardly alone in his fascination with the news. In addition to the three flagship papers which came out four times a day, there were also at least 30 smaller papers and 30 even smaller neighbourhood-based dailies. Despite the warmth of the room, Brecht's dark, weathered leather jacket would be fastened and his hat pulled low on his forehead. He hated to be cold and was vulnerable to drafts. The small composer was not particularly athletic, but his solid, compact build and rosy cheeks made him seem like the picture of health compared to the skinny, scruffy man he was about to meet. As he crossed the crowded, colourful room, one thing must have been very clear to the observant Weill. The artist who had killed the individual on the stage was in no way prepared to eliminate one very particular individual in the real world, that is, Brecht himself. This man's singular confidence was as powerful as the stench from his cigar, whose smoke swirled up toward his portrait on the wall. In his quiet way, Weill was equally self-assured. Both men were emboldened not only by their talent, but also by their strong sense of purpose. They had come of age on the despoiled cultural plane of post-war Germany and began their careers believing they had an essential role to play in the fate of their country. As he approached Brecht's table, Weill passed patrons from many social and cultural backgrounds, and nearly everyone was discussing the same thing: how to understand and fulfil the demands of democratic art. It was a time of youth and a city of youth, Heinzheimer aptly described the atmosphere. The old empire had vanished. The old conceptions, the old conventions, the old traditions, and the old people. The young soldiers back from the war met under huge banners, proclaiming Nie wieder Krieg, never again war. The young musicians, looking into a new, exciting future, proclaimed Nie wieder Krieg,